would say like I grew up very like insecure, and I got to this point in my life where I was just tired about overthinking everything and like not being able to be myself. So I just like dove 100% into like the personal development like side of things, and like just read all of the books that I could read. And I guess just reading those books and like listening to podcasts and surrounding myself with people who have that mindset really puts me in that place of like knowing that I'm so powerful, you are so powerful, we can all do whatever we want to do.
You just heard the voice of Jess McCauley, a professional high diver and health coach. In this episode, we dive into overcoming your fears and how you can visualize your own success so you can live in your own power. If you're ready to face your fears and achieve your goals, then stick around because this episode will help you crush your limiting beliefs. Welcome to the show. My name is Ali West, and since 2008, I've been working in the health and fitness industry. In the space of just under 10 years, I went from being a glorified treadmill cleaner to the owner of my own 9,000 square foot gym, Kinetic Fitness, in Nottingham in the United Kingdom. Plus, helping thousands of people offline and online to improve their health and well-being. Since 2015, I've been on my own journey of self-discovery, learning how to improve, optimize, and master my mental, physical, and spiritual health on the deepest levels. And now I want to help you do the same by sharing my own wisdom and the wisdom of some of the brightest minds in health, fitness, nutrition, biohacking, and spirituality so you can become optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. If you're ready, then let the show begin.
Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Ali West.
Welcome to episode 101 of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Happy New Year. Goodbye to 2020. Hello to 2021. I know 2020 was a struggle and a challenge for a lot of people, but it's behind us now. Let's focus on this year. Let's focus on 2021 and make it your best one yet. I'm going to help you to do that, and so is my guest today. My guest today is Jess McCauley, and Jess is a professional high diver and health coach. In this episode, we're really going to help you to overcome your fears, to visualize your best self, and to crush your goals. In this episode, we cover a lot of things in a short space of time. We talk about Jess's diving career, we talk about her fears, we talk about visualization, training, nutrition, overcoming fears, how COVID-19 has affected her physical, mental health, and also affected her career. We talk about her goals and visions for the future, her mindset, how she gets in the zone and how you can as well, how you can become the best version of yourself. And at the end, she gives us 3 top tips to improve our physical, mental, and spiritual health. So make sure you stick around to the end to get those 3 incredible tips. I'm not going to say much more. Let's get straight to it. This is the first podcast episode of 2021, episode 101 with Jess McCauley. Let's do it. Hey, Jessica, thank you for joining me today on the podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to this. I'm excited to pick into your brain on the sport of diving plus your fitness stuff. So this is going to be a great episode. I'm looking forward to it. And I think the best place to start this podcast is with a little bit of your story. So if you could share a brief backstory with myself and the listeners, and we'll go from there.
Of course. So I started diving when I was 9 years old. My sister was a swimmer beforehand, and I was always obsessed with water for some reason. And as soon as I followed in her footsteps, I got started in swimming. And after about a month of that, I saw the divers and I was like, I have to do that. I like just felt this like calling. And then once I started diving, it was just like, it lit me up. It was my passion. And I just pursued it for like I'm still pursuing it. So I was just continually pursuing it and pushing myself and pushing my boundaries. And it was really cool to have this physical thing to push me and to make me overcome my fears. And so it really kind of built the person I am. It taught me so many like life lessons. And throughout my career, I was a competitive like club team athlete all the way up until college. And then I decided to go to Texas A&M University and then train and compete collegiately. And then after that, I was just like, I was a little bit lost in my life. I was like, I didn't know like what my life passion was besides from diving. So I was like, you know, like maybe I'll just try and see if I can be a performer, because like Olympics for me wasn't in the question when it came to like springboard or platform diving. And so I was like, I want to continue this, but I don't know how. And so I got in the world of performing and like doing circuses and working at theme parks and stuff like that. And after about a year of that, I was like, wow, this is a lifestyle. Like I can make this an actual job. There's big circuses like Cirque du Soleil. And so after a few years of performing, I didn't actually go to a big circus. I found out that high diving is like a professional sport. They have it in Red Bull Cliff Diving. They also have it in FINA. It's not quite an Olympic sport. So I was like, I could maybe do this. Like I had a little bit of doubt, but I continued to push myself and like learn and overcome my fears. And then I realized like, wow, like I'm powerful enough to make this a thing. So I started learning big dives and like messaging the people who were in charge of Red Bull Cliff Diving. And eventually I got invited to competition, and then I started competing and I was doing well. And I was like doing these hard dives that I remember like thinking about, like, I would never do that. So it was just really, really like awesome time in my life, like having these big goals and then accomplishing them. And then after that, like I've been doing that for about 3 to 4 years now. And for the past 8 months or like a year, like we've been in this pandemic. And so I haven't been able to train, although I'm doing everything I can. I'm training in the gym. I'm doing all of this visualization and everything. So I still have like, it's still my plan to continue to dive for as long as I can. I'm just waiting on the time when I can get back in. And in the meantime, it's kind of like inspired me to get into some kind of like, well, I'm building a like health coaching business. And the reason why I'm doing that is because I've always had this, like, I feel the same pull that pulled me into diving. It feels like my purpose to help people realize their internal power. And the way that I can do that is with my background knowledge in like sports and athletics. And then also I'm like educating myself on nutrition and everything that I can help other people kind of like take their power back into their own hands and understand that like they can build a life that they love. And the way I'm doing that is through health coaching. So now I'm here.
That's amazing.
That's my life story up till now.
No, that's good. That was cool. And there's so many things that we could probably pick up off the back of that, because that's an interesting story and many different elements to it. I think that I'd like to stick with the diving stuff. And how did it go from maybe just doing a few different dives on maybe what would be normal diving to, right, I'm going to jump off a cliff now, or I'm going to do some performance type stuff? Because for a lot of people, yeah, they're happy to maybe go on, I don't know, a 10-foot diving board and jump off. But then to stand on the top of a huge cliff, or it maybe in that performance environment, that'd be probably most people's biggest fear. So how did that progress from maybe just standard diving into the crazy stuff in inverted commas?
Right. So I was always a 10 meter diver. So that's about like 33 feet, like a 3-story building.
And that's pretty high then.
Yeah, that's pretty high. And I always remember like being scared. And then I went to like a show diving like set, and I saw them building the scaffolding. It's this tiny little ladder that goes all the way up to 20 meters, which is double the normal like Olympic standard height. And that I was standing on my first set, and I looked up and I was like to my teammates, because I was not hired to do that. I was like, that is real? You're doing that? And they're like, yeah. And I didn't feel like any inspiration to do it then, but it was like my competitive nature that got to me, because there was like other people who were like on my similar like level and they were pushing themselves to go higher. And I was like, well, I can't not do it if they're doing it. And so I made myself do it. And then once I did it a couple of times, I was starting to get like the adrenaline rush, and I was like, oh, like maybe I should be doing this more.
Yeah, you get that buzz, don't you? I've heard that from other sports and athletes, people, that they get that buzz and that thrill for it, and that's what spurs them on.
Yeah, for sure. It's like you have this intense feeling of fear and anxiety, and then it like once you do the thing, it like flips to the exact same like intensity of like exhilaration and like just like happiness, and it's like the craziest emotion I've ever experienced.
So over the years, talk to me about your training over the years. How has that looked, evolved, progressed? What does your training regime look like from maybe in the gym to more sport specific? How does your training look?
So when I got into like high diving and cliff diving, it was like my training was very freestyle because I was always like traveling. I was like doing both kind of at the same time, performing and doing competition. So I would like do my performance and then like work out in between. And I didn't have like a background knowledge about like weightlifting and like what's the proper way to train for like a sport. You know, I had the background of being in the sport my whole entire life, but I didn't have the knowledge myself. And so it progressively got better. Like for the first couple of years, I have to say, like, I was just enjoying life and partying and like freestyling it. And then just the past like year and a half, I've really taken the time to like educate myself on some weightlifting techniques and the proper way to use progressive overload in order like to build muscle and specific muscles to be explosive. So I've taken that into consideration now, and I'm really like following a program and like following a nutrition plan, and I just feel a lot stronger and healthier overall.
Yeah. And does your training include gymnastic type stuff? Because obviously when you're doing these dives, you're doing twists and turns and flips and that kind of stuff. So do you have to go into like a gymnastics gym and do stuff, or is it literally just off the board you're doing the training for that kind of stuff?
So like in a typical like diving training session, we'll do like half dry land and then half water work. So in the dry land, we'll do a lot of like core and flexibility stuff, and then also like gymnastics stuff, but it's like very diving specific. So we'll do flips on the ground, and then we'll do like some, if you're a springboard diver, you'll do like dry board work, like bouncing on the boards into like pits and stuff. So we're working like very specifically what we're doing, but yeah, we are like flipping during those training sessions.
Yeah. And you mentioned briefly your nutrition, and I saw a post on your Instagram a few posts ago where you're saying that you've upped your calories and you're really taking care of your body from a nutritional perspective. So mm-hmm. what does your nutrition look like at the moment, and how's that impact what you do from an athletic standpoint?
So I'm not too strict, but I do make sure that I do follow like a macronutrient kind of like goal to make sure that I'm getting enough protein and carbs to be able to like fuel myself and have muscle recovery. And just getting enough calories to feel energized. So I do try to fill my diet with like whole foods and like plant foods, whole foods. Like I do eat meat as well. And then I also include like a little treat here and there because, you know, I love my treats.
Yeah, you've got to.
I know, you can't live without treats.
Nice. And how's that affecting everything? Do you notice how your nutrition impacts what you do or not?
Right now I'm just lifting in the gym. So like the way that I notice it the most is like in my body composition. So, and I've noticed like following specific calories and like trying to lose weight or trying to gain weight is like, it's really not that hard if you have a program or if you have like guidelines. And before in the past, I've always tried to like get in shape or get lean, and it's always just like running stairs. And so it's just taken a lot of like stress off of me and like worry, because it's like, it's just a basic equation that I need to follow, and I don't need to like not eat chocolate for like 2 months. So I just feel like less stress about like my body image because I trust my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. What about injuries then? Have you ever suffered any injuries or has that affected what you do at all, or are you injury free?
I've been pretty lucky for my whole career, but this past season, I guess it was 2019, I had a couple of injuries. Like I landed over on the water, I like hit my tailbone on the water. And then right after that, I was in a lot of pain from that. And like basically the competition after that, I got like sideswiped by this massive wave and it scorpioned me underwater. And like I could have stayed more tight in the water, but you don't really expect a wave to like smash you. So that was pretty painful. It took quite a while to like feel recovered from that. But that's the worst I've had it. Not saying that wasn't bad, but
yeah. And how long was the recovery for that? Was it a long time or just you was back to it quite quickly?
Well, I was diving like the next competition, but I was like, I had pinched a nerve in my neck and I was like really worried about like my body and my health, you know. I didn't want to like pinch a nerve and like damage myself, so I still dove because for me it was worth it in that like setting because it was the biggest competition of the year. But I was worried.
Mm-hmm. And what about recovery? Do you take that into consideration in the training that you're doing and when you're in competition or you're in season? I know obviously we've had the whole pandemic for the last 8-9 months and you haven't really been able to dive much, but where does recovery come into your overall protocol?
I just make sure that I'm training like the amount of time that suits me. So right now I'm only lifting 4 days a week and I'm taking 3 recovery days a week. And like soon I'll add diving in there. I don't feel like as a diver, we are really working our systems or like too hard because we work in short bursts. Mm. So it's not like we're ever really like super fatigued from our sport. Especially,
I suppose
like,
power and flexibility, they've got to be the two biggest ones, and agility as well.
Yeah, definitely. So like whenever we do have a competition, we'll do like maybe 4 to 5 dives a day. And it can be hard on the body. Like the impact is hard on the body. So you do need to take time to rest and recover. But it's different. It's like the impact of the water, not like the sport itself, but definitely rest and recovery is super important. Something I take into consideration.
When you do hit the water, what kind of speeds are you traveling at and what kind of impact is it?
I should know this. I don't know the actual speed. I think it's, I'm not going to just throw a number out there. We can look it up later, but if you hit the water wrong, like it can be hard on your body. Like if your neck's out, you can get like whiplash. And like I said, like I landed on my tailbone and it was painful and bruised for like really painful for three weeks, but I felt it for like months. But if you hit the water right, then you're most of the time like fine. There's like some occasions where you hit the water fine and then you're like still a ragdoll underwater. So
yeah. So not too bad if you get it right, but if you get it wrong, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously when you're doing those competitions, you've got all the safety precautions are taken into consideration, aren't they? There's the safety divers and all that kind of stuff, isn't there?
Yeah. Big time. Yeah. They like depth check everything and they have like their 3 to 4 safety divers and like a little splasher so we can see the water.
And when you're doing the cliff diving, the Red Bull cliff diving, what heights is that from? Is it varying or is it always the same height?
It's from like 21 to 22 and a half. So it does move. It's not like super standardized. And then the men is from like 26 to 28.
Wow. It's high.
I've never gone off the men's height actually.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about the mental side of what you do then, because obviously we mentioned fears, and at first when you saw that big scaffolding, you had those kind of fears of that. But what kind of mental things do you take into consideration? I know right at the start of this podcast, you also mentioned visualization, but how do you get yourself focused mentally, and what do you take into consideration from the mental health perspective of what you do?
So for me, the way that I prepare myself for a new dive, because that's the scariest part, is, like we said, like a lot of mental visualization, because going up to that platform, you're doing something that you've never done before. And there's like a really big risk factor. So you have to be confident in yourself to be able to do it. And the only really way that you can have the experience of doing it beforehand is doing it in your head. And growing up with like a diving background, it's easy for me to create the dive in my head and feel that like rotation and the pull of the gravity. And so that just allows me to create those repetitions in my body before I have to go up there. And then when I go up there, I mean, I have more confidence in myself, but there's still that fear factor of never having physically done it, and just trusting in myself, my abilities, and my training.
I think there's three really big points that you've made, which I want to kind of elaborate on and say a bit more about. The first one is visualization is massive, not just in what you do, but for everyone, whether you're trying to play a sport, you're trying to get fit, you're trying to run a business, help your family, relationships, whatever, visualization is absolutely massive. And we recently had Matt Belair on the show, and he taught a stunt motorcyclist how to do this trick that had never been done before, and he did it all through visualization. So wow, it's so powerful and so useful. And I think people underestimate how powerful visualization is. And the second one you said was about, oh, when you get up there, knowing that you've never done it, you still have that fear. But I think that's also a good thing, is you've got to have that little bit of anxiety, because that's what gives you that adrenaline, gives you that rush to do it.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to touch on those points, that they're really powerful and really important.
Yeah.
What about then do you have any fears? We've not really touched on that. You said sometimes you do get a bit fearful, but what are your fears? Not just maybe in relation to your sport, but are you happy to share what some fears you might have? Or if you have any, you might be completely fearless. I don't know.
Like just general life fears. I guess like my fear is like not living up to my potential, but that's not something that really like wears on me. Because every single day I try to work towards that. And besides like diving fears, I do have diving fears, like, and the fear that I've felt through diving is the most intense fear I've ever felt, but somehow it's very, I was going to say easy to overcome, but it's like, I kind of like make my decision that I'm going to overcome it. So there's no question. So it's like a feeling of like anxiety, and it kind of feels like a poison inside of me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like basically regulating, just self-regulating, because I know I'm going to do the thing. And so the only way to get through it is to kind of just like make it okay to feel it.
Yeah. And when you're at the top of the cliff or the board, and you are having maybe those fears or those doubts, are there any specific techniques, skills, hacks you do right there and then in the moment to get you through it and to put that into motion? Or is it just literally the stuff you've done prior to getting up there, the visualization stuff? Is there anything you do in the moment that helps you get through it?
The only thing that I do is I just take the next step. And so I remember I was going to learn like a quad half from 20 meters, and I did the lead ups. And it was like, the next step is to like do the dive. And so I kept breaking it down into little pieces. I was like, okay, well, the next step is just walking up there. That's not scary. I can walk up there. And I walked up there and I was like, okay, the next step is to like make my place in line and say like, okay, I'm going after this person. And then to get to the end of the platform. And then once you're there, then you like, you kind of have to do it, you know? Yeah. Like you have to put yourself in the place where it's like, you have to do it.
No backing down.
Yeah.
And what's the,
I actually did back down because I didn't feel ready. And then I did some more lead ups, and then I did the process over again. And then I did it.
Got you. Yeah. And what's the general community like within diving? Because I find it really interesting that when people do those team sports, and individual sports, there can sometimes be a bit of difference in terms of how the environment is, how the community is within the sport. But then the more and more I speak to individual athletes, they always have a team behind them anyway, and they always have that supportive community even from other athletes. So is that the same in diving, or is it, you feel solo in it?
No, it feels like a family, like especially in high diving, because there's so few of us and it's such a intense sport that like we can't really relate to anybody back home about it. So when we get together, we're all experiencing these emotions of like fear and anxiety and excitement, and it's all like new for us, the places that we're going, and it's like a reunion because it's the same people every time. So it's this really supportive atmosphere and like family feeling when we all get together.
And what's your biggest achievement so far? I know you've had some really good achievements in your career. What would you say is the standout achievements for you?
My second competition, I placed second by 0.1 in like the Red Bull Cliff Diving competition in Texas. And it was like my first time ever doing my back triple. And I set like a PR or like a, not a PR, but like a record for the highest scoring dive. And my family was there, my coaches were there because like we live in Texas and they were able to just drive out there. So that feels like my best moment in the sport. And I would say like my highest achievement would be my third place medal in Korea in the FINA World Champions that just happened. I guess it was like not just happened, but in August, I believe, of 2019.
Amazing. And what's your favorite place you've dove? Like where in the world that really stands out for you? You've been like, oh, that was amazing. I wish I could dive there every day. Have you got a place like that?
Yeah, there's one. They're all like that. But the one that sticks out the most, I would say, is Sissakon, Switzerland.
Wow.
It was a stop that we did in 2018 for the Red Bull Series. And it was just so beautiful. It's like, it was in this lake, and then there was like these like kind of hills and mountains on the side. And the thing that just like stood out the most was the colors. The colors of Switzerland are just so vibrant, like the blues and the greens of the hills. And it was just, I think also I had a great experience at the competition. So it all like fed into each other.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Switzerland is a beautiful country. I've only been there once, but yeah, it's amazing. The scenery is incredible. Wow. That's a good thing about what you do when there's no pandemic as well. You get to see the world.
Yeah, I know, right?
Hopefully you can get back to it soon, which leads me on to what I want to ask you next is how, I mean, I try and keep these podcast episodes as evergreen as possible, but it's very difficult to avoid everything that's happening at the moment, particularly in the countries that we both reside in the UK and the US. It seems to have probably hit us harder than anywhere else. So how is the whole pandemic, has COVID-19 affected what you've done this year, and how has things changed for you, and how have you personally handled it?
It's been pretty tough, actually. On May 10th, that was my last training session, and we got told like, oh, the pool's going to be shutting down. And in my mind, like, we've never experienced anything like this as like a world, you know, all together. So I was like, okay, like maybe 3 weeks or something, or maybe like 3 months, you know, max. And then it was like every single month they would tell us, okay, you can get back in soon. And then it would just get extended. And it was just, that was the most disheartening, was like getting my hopes up and then having them like crushed again. And the same thing happened on November 1st. I was like 100% sure that we were going to be able to get back in. And then that didn't happen. So it's just very disheartening to have a whole season go past as well, and not to be able to travel and see my friends and like feel that excitement. Like I said, it is very like sad and frustrating, but at the same time, I'm like focusing on what's going well. And it's given me the opportunity to slow down and make like a lot of like mindset growth, and also to like invest in my business and like educate myself, which is going to help me in my sport as well. Like help me to be present, help me be a better athlete, help me to like understand how to train and how to eat for my sport. So really in the long run, it was good to slow down, but I'm ready to like pick it back up again.
Yeah. And how do you keep focus both mentally and physically when those knockbacks keep coming? Because I mean, we're all in the same same boat to some extent. But when you keep getting told that you can't get back to it, or you've got things have got to remain closed, it's very difficult for a lot of people to keep focused and keep their eyes on the prize, so to speak. So how have you managed to handle that? Is there any things that you've done to really keep going and keep focused with everything?
So for me, my focusing on my business really ties into my sport, like I said, and I've been diving since I was 9 years old. So it feels like my identity to be a diver, and it's just my way to live. So like if I'm working out or if I'm doing flips, it's like, it's part of me. And like, I know I have a lot of life left in this sport. So maybe at times I do feel like a little bit unmotivated and like I don't want to do the flips or something, but eventually, like if I take like a little break, then I'll get back into it and I'll feel like excited about it.
And how important has the exercise and the gym side of things been for you?
Yeah, it's been major. Like, especially working on my strength helps me like feel more explosive. Like before, I was doing only explosive movements. And then I started working like strength, like higher reps. And I just feel more sturdy. And being sturdy and being strong is like super important for those impacts, which I think is really going to help me in my next season. Because like my last season, I was feeling a little bit fragile.
And do you find that exercise really helps from the mental perspective as well with you? Or is it more physical?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just like, I just put my headphones on, like get in the zone and just like, it's just like a stress releaser for sure.
Yeah, definitely. People listening in need to know the importance of exercise and keeping moving. Even if we are kind of trapped at home or locked down and we can't get to the gym, still got to keep moving. It's easy for us to
just
say.
The little things too.
Yeah. Go on, sorry.
I was like, just the little things too, like getting a standing desk or like just doing some laps around your backyard even helps big time.
Definitely. Definitely. Even just walking. It's easy for us to say because we're athletic, but it is so important. But I think most people that listen to this podcast are doing some movement anyway. I hope they are. Okay. What about then the future? What's the future hold for you? What's the future ambitions? What do you want to achieve over the next 1-5 years, both in your business, but personally, and also with your sport as well? Have you got any kind of goals or visions for the future?
Yeah, definitely. I'm super excited about the future. I know that I'm going to be diving for like as many years as I feel passionate about it, because like I just feel very like heart driven. Like if I make all of my decisions based on like the way that I feel, and I feel very strongly about the pair of my diving career with my fitness coaching career. And I'm super excited to like make those connections with people and use my story of like building my power and like gaining my confidence to help others kind of realize that they are powerful too. They may not see it, they may have insecurities, but once you get past those like limiting beliefs, you are capable of anything. And I just see myself building a business that's has no limits, basically.
And what sort of things have brought you to that kind of mindset? Because that isn't always a mindset that everyone holds. Like, you can achieve anything, you can do anything you want, you can be whoever you want to be. I mean, that's something that was always instilled in me from my parents and from the work that I've done on myself. So it's really amazing to hear people say that. What do you think has given you that mindset? Is it from your athletic background, or have you done some things to help develop that mindset, or both?
I would say like I grew up very like insecure, and I got to this point in my life where I was just tired about overthinking everything and like not being able to be myself. So I just like dove 100% into like the personal development like side of things, and like just read all of the books that I could read. And I guess just reading those books and like listening to podcasts and surrounding myself with people who have that mindset really puts me in that place of like knowing that I'm so powerful. You are so powerful. We can all do whatever we want to do.
Definitely. Love that. Any books that have stood out for you? Is there any particular books that you'd recommend to others?
The one book that really kind of like resonated with me as like just dipping my toes into the self-development like world would be You Are Badass, because it's like if you listen to it on audiobook, it's like Jen Sincero, she writes it and she also narrates it. It's very lighthearted and has a lot of great concepts, and it instills in the person reading it that they are a badass and that they can do anything. So it basically is just everything that I'm talking about.
Love it. And for people that are listening to this that are inspired by with the things that you said today, and they might want to either get into a sport or take their sport to the next level, or they want to do their own business, what would be some kind of advice and some tips to follow in your footsteps, so to speak, or to not even follow in your footsteps, create their own footsteps, their own path to do what they're passionate about and what they love?
I would say any journey, any new venture is going to bring up those like deep insecure thoughts, that imposter syndrome and fear, and just know that that's normal. And the way to get through it is kind of looking at those situations that come up as opportunities to learn about yourself and to learn about the business world or the sport, or just as opportunities to grow. Oh, sorry.
It's all right. That's my ring. You've mentioned experiences and lessons, you could say, life lessons, a couple of times already today. What's some of the biggest lessons you've learned in your life so far?
Diving related or just in general?
Whichever you prefer, or both.
Ah, that's so great. I would say the biggest thing that I've kind of learned recently is the importance of like feeling your emotions, because emotions often kind of like take over us, and we're kind of our first response is to react and not think about what we're doing. And so recently I've really kind of like made it safe to feel my emotions, and then they don't like drive my life anymore. And so the way that I've been doing this is just repeating, like, I feel blank and it's okay. I feel blank and it's safe. And I really just noticed that I'm less likely to do like habits like overeat, or to like not wake up with my alarm, or just like things that aren't healthy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that ties into, I'd say, daily practices. Do you have any things that you do every single day, or that are maybe non-negotiables, you could call them, that really help you to progress and move forward in the right way from a physical, mental, and you could probably say spiritual perspective? Do you do anything like that? Any daily practices?
So I don't have like a routine at the moment. I'm really working on like creating that routine, but some things that I love and I do regularly are taking like multiple walks in the day, just getting out in nature and appreciating the nature. And then also like morning meditations and gratitude really help me. Like setting intentions also in the morning is really helpful for me, because like throughout the day, like you only have a certain amount of willpower. So once I set my intention in the morning, it's easy to kind of revisit that thought.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's always saying that they lack motivation or they lack willpower, and setting intentions can solve both of those problems straight away. The lack of motivation can be easily fixed by just simply saying, today I'm going to achieve this, or today I'll do my best to achieve this. It makes all the difference. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people really realize how easy that is to do, but how powerful it is as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely. What about them from a role model perspective? Is there anything that you do, like, because I'm sure with you being an athlete, but also being a female athlete, you're seen as a role model, particularly a role model in the sport of diving. Does that ever cross your mind? Is there anything you take into consideration with that or not?
It is something that I think about because it is, I feel like it is part of my like purpose to inspire others to kind of, like I talked about, like go after their goals and their dreams and their visions. And so the biggest thing that I take, the biggest thing that I feel that I can contribute to someone's life is to just go for what they think they can, go for their goals, go for their dreams, and like don't let anything stop you.
Yeah, definitely. Powerful. Powerful. Yeah, I mean, we're all capable of infinite things, so people need to remember that and also put it into action. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get bogged down, especially with everything that's going on in the world at the moment. It's easy to get bogged down by the fear or the anxiety or the worry. But if we can believe in ourselves and believe that we can achieve anything, then we're definitely on towards winning at life and living out the best possible life we can, I believe, mm-hmm. anyway.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Awesome. Okay, the last kind of couple of questions before we wrap things up. If you had to give the listeners maybe 2 to 3 tips, if they just stop this podcast right now, hopefully they've made it all the way through this podcast and they're looking for some tips to help them with their well-being, their health on maybe all fronts, mind, body, and spirit, 2 to 3 tips that they could do straight away, what would they be?
So number one, I would say, is to write out like your dream list or your dream life and to just kind of like brainstorm everything that you would have in your like ultimate like dream. And then the next thing I would do would be to practice saying like what you're grateful for and to like get in that place of feeling good. So whatever that is to you, if that's like playing or meditating or like reading, I always like to get into like a place of joy throughout the day. So I like to dance. So if that's dancing for you, I would do that. And then tip number 3 would be to just get movement every day, whatever feels good for you too. Like if that's yoga or walking, just get your blood flowing and get your body moving.
Awesome tips. I'd say if people just did one of those, they'd feel better.
Yeah. And back to tip one, number one. So write everything down and then kind of like visualize yourself living that life. Yeah. That's like a takeaway, a practical takeaway, rather than just writing it down.
Yeah. And also I'd add on to your first tip, because I think that's such a good tip. And it's something that I've done myself and I've helped clients to do it as well. But there's one thing I will add on to that is that don't just make it material. A lot of the times people hear people like yourself or me say these things, write your dream list down, write your goals, write your perfect day, whatever it may be. And they automatically switch to thinking it needs to be a material dream. And it's not, it's about what makes you internally happy. So what makes your heart sing, what brings you joy. I love that you said that word because it's one of my favorite words, and bringing that happiness into your life. And a lot of those things, if not all of them, aren't material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Writing down the ways that you want to feel. And then practicing feeling that way.
Yeah, you can't just write it. You've got to take the action. Awesome. What about then? Where can the listeners go to find out more about you, Jessica? If they wanna learn more about what you're doing, find out about your coaching or anything like that, where can they go to find out more?
You can find me on Instagram at jess.the.highdiver.
That's a good Instagram name.
Thanks.
It makes sense.
Yes, the highdiver / fitness coach. Maybe that would be later.
Yeah, love it. And there's some epic pictures and videos of you doing your thing on there. So I recommend everyone go and check that out.
Thank you.
We always end my podcast in the same way, and I have warned you. So hopefully you've got a favorite quote for me. So can you just end the podcast with a favorite quote to finish? And it can be something of your own or something you live by, whatever it is, just hit us with it and we'll wrap it up there.
If we all did the things that we are capable of, we would astound ourselves, by Thomas Edison.
Love it. Perfect. Thank you so much for your time, Jessica. I really appreciate it. And I hope you can get back in the water and on the boards and on the cliffs very soon.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you as well.
Thank you.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.